Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Let's do it. Let's talk winners and losers in the Big 12 Conference. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports, where we cover the Big 12 Conference. And we, as always, are glad you are here as a part of the show. Make sure you're subscribed right now on the Heartland College Sports channel. I will give you three winners and three losers from this week in the Big 12, and I will make it the special Big 12 Football Media Days edition. All right, let's start with the winners. You guys seem to like when I start with winners, and then I back it up with the losers this week. So for my first winner this week, I'm giving it to Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark. Brett Yormark, rightfully so, told the SEC and the Big Ten to pound sand. We are not doing a 4-4-2-2 model. We are not doing that in the Power Four. The Big 12 is not going to stand for it. And if you guys think you will run roughshod over the Big 12 and the ACC, not on my watch. That's what Brett Yormark said. And you know what? He had every right to say it, and I'm glad he said it. We have been waiting for a long time for somebody to stand up to the bullies on the block. And Brett Yormark had his coming out party this week publicly and said, that's us. We'll stand up to him. And if I have to be the bad guy, so be it. And another overlooked little factoid this week when it came to Big 12 Media Days, and our own Matthew Poston shared this on one of our earlier shows this week, which is why you've got to be subscribed, is that it may not be as simple as the SEC and the Big Ten getting to call the shots for the future of the college football playoff come 2026. There may be legal remedies or legal challenges that come that will allow the Big 12 and the ACC to have a much bigger say in the future of the college football playoff. That is huge because we all assumed that, well, come next year, it didn't really matter. The SEC and the Big Ten would do whatever it wanted. Turns out, it may not be that simple. So now, the Big 12 and the ACC have some cards to play here. And I'm glad they do. And if the SEC and the Big Ten want to break off and do their own, whatever they want to call it, college football league, let them. See how it goes. I know, some of you are watching. Your Big 12 haters, I promise you it will destroy the sport and they will destroy themselves. That's what's going to happen. I would dare them to do it and see how it plays out. It will hurt the entire sport and it will not help the SEC and the Big Ten like they think it will. So if they just want to do the bidding of ESPN, I suppose that's their prerogative, but be careful what you wish for. All right? Be very careful what you wish for. So Brett Yormark had a great week standing up to the Power 2 leagues this week at Big 12 Football Media Days. He is my first winner. Hey, if you're just hopping on, like the video right now. Right? Don't wait. Like it. And if you're listening on the podcast, just look at your phone, click the 5-star, and make sure you are subscribed. Thank you so much for doing that. My second winner this week is Matt Campbell. If you missed it, Matt Campbell had some great moments, and he talked to ESPN's Pete Thamel, and he said his top 20 guys took a pay cut to come back to Iowa State. Now, I don't think what he meant by that is that his top 20 guys are actually making less money than they were last year. My interpretation of that was always that Matt Campbell got his guys to stay at Iowa State at a reduced rate versus what they would have gotten had they left to the transfer portal and gone to the quote-unquote open market. That's how I interpret that. I don't think it's like they all took a $50,000 pay cut. It's just they're playing at Iowa State for less than they could have played somewhere else. So by that interpretation, the guys took a pay cut. So what does that tell you about Iowa State? They may not have as many five-star players as Texas Tech or as Colorado or as schools in the SEC. But as it was dubbed a few years back by, I believe, Breece Hall, they have a five-star culture, as Breece Hall famously put it after beating Texas. They have a five-star culture. And in an NIL world where there is absolutely zero loyalty, players are coming and going, Iowa State is proving that the old school model can still work. All right? It can still work. It still has value. And it's still something that should be cherished. There are programs who still want to do this the right way, who still want to build programs from the bottom up. That is exactly what Matt Campbell is doing. And listen, you're seeing other Big 12 schools do this as well. Kansas State's doing it. They're the first ones that come to mind. But you're going to see more and more programs try to do it the right way, because then what you can do is you can basically, I believe, retain your guys on a hometown discount. It won't work for everybody, but familiarity, same coaching staff, same playbook is worth something. And that will help you. So maybe, just maybe, the game won't change for certain programs as much as we think it will. It doesn't mean that you can't still hit the portal if you're Iowa State. You probably have to. You got to use it to your advantage. However, as we saw these past couple of seasons, Iowa State has the least transfer portal movement in the Big 12. And that's not a coincidence. It's because of what Matt Campbell is trying to build and the tremendous respect that he has with his own players, his coaching staff, and in that university when it comes to the job that he has done and the belief that he will continue to do that job at a very high level in the Big 12 after they got to another Big 12 championship game last year but came up just short. But that is their second Big 12 championship game of the 2020s. They got there in the COVID year, and of course they lost that one to OU. My final winner this week in the Big 12, for three winners, three losers, I'll run through them all here on the show. Glad you're a part of it. Texas Tech. Our guy Matthew Postens was in Frisco for the Big 12 football media days. And he said he has never seen that many media around Texas Tech. Not even close. They were the star of the show. Joy McGuire was a star of the show. That Red Raiders, the players that showed up at Big 12 football media days, they were the stars of the show. And that's because Texas Tech is going to be one of the most talked about teams, and not just the Big 12, but all of college football, because of how massive that transfer portal haul was this year. I mean, it was just unbelievable, right? It was next level. It's something that when you think about Texas Tech football, we never would have maybe expected until the last couple of years when Cody Campbell said, hold my beer, I'm a billionaire, let's have some fun and make this thing work. So it's just completely different. They're all in. Now, the pressure's there on Joy McGuire. He knows that. He's embracing that. But at the same time, they were the most sought-after team at Big 12 football media days this side of Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders was a draw, but in terms of the team that was the biggest draw at Big 12 football media days, it was clearly, no doubt about it, Texas Tech. How are the players going to handle that come the season? That remains to be seen. Joe McGuire, he's saying all the things right now that you want to hear from him, but he will be in a pressure cooker that he has never experienced in his career. So all of these things are still up in the air in terms of how it's going to play out. And the fact that Texas Tech has now become this massive draw, well, you know what? Cody Campbell's looking at this and saying, why can't I turn this program into the next Oregon. I love you Wildcats fans, but I had to laugh at myself. That was a total flub on my part. Oregon. Why can't I turn this program into Oregon? And he has every right to feel that way. Flashy, remote location that maybe doesn't draw a lot of attention traditionally, but he basically builds him up into a blue blood. And it won't happen this year, next year. They got to string together a lot of great seasons before you can actually have that conversation. But if you're making a bet on who the next blue blood's going to be, just based on pure money, you've got to put Texas Tech near the top of that list. You have to do it. So it was a great week for Texas Tech. They got a tremendous amount of attention, and now they've got to make it happen on the field. That's what they have to do. Let us know where you are watching from on the show. We'll give you a shout out. We got San Angelo, Texas in the house. We've got Austin, Tulsa is here as well. Good to have you guys. As always, being a part of the show on Heartland College Sports. So let's get to my three losers of the week. You ready for this? Okay.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
My first loser is Scott Frost, UCF football coach. Scott Frost was asked to me a very simple question. What went wrong at Nebraska? What did you learn? You know, the classic stuff that you knew he was going to get asked. And what did Scott Frost say? Don't take the wrong job. That's a bad answer. It's a terrible answer. That's pointing the finger when you're Scott Frost. I'm not saying Nebraska's a great job. Nebraska should have never left the Big 12 Conference. But you got to have the self-awareness to say, you know, I could have done some things better too. When you say, don't take the wrong job, you're implying that it's all the fault of the other side. And it never is. A coach and program doesn't always fail because of one side. A relationship doesn't always fail because of one side. Life's not that simple. And maybe he was just trying to be cute. Maybe it was just funny. Maybe that's what he was going for. But Scott Frost went on to say, I said I would not leave UCF unless it was someplace you could win a national championship. I got tugged in a direction trying to help my alma mater and didn't really want to do it. It wasn't a good move. I'm lucky to get back to a place where I was a lot happier. Well, I'm glad he's at UCF as well. I hope he can turn UCF around. They could be a sleeping giant in the Big 12 Conference. But that answer of don't take the wrong job really turned me off. And I thought it was beneath Scott Frost because it was overly simplistic. I'm not saying he had to go on a three-minute diatribe about, you know, this, that, the next thing, and what was great and what wasn't great. But don't take the wrong job. No. Scott Frost lost a lot of close games at UCF. Like, he had a tremendous amount of one-loss or one-score losses over his last couple of years. Right? He's not losing a bunch of one-score games because Nebraska wasn't pulling its end. That's just not how this works. He was making mistakes. You can't lose that many games by one score and just point the finger at everybody else. Just can't do it, right? So I was very underwhelmed by that answer from Scott Frost. And, you know, I don't know what it means for his future at UCF. But to me, if that's just a facade for the media, okay. But if I was hiring at UCF and I asked him that question, and that was his answer, I'm not hiring that guy. I'm not doing it. Don't take the wrong job. That's the wrong answer. Because we all screw up. And learning from those mistakes is what makes you succeed the next time around. My next loser from the week in the Big 12 is going to be the NCAA tournament. So we had an exclusive with Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, and nobody else had this. It's on our website right now at heartlandcollegesports.com. But Brett Yormark explained why, in a one-on-one conversation with us, he wants to see the NCAA expand to 72 or 76 teams. He said to Heartland College Sports, "I will say from a conference perspective, access matters. More access is good for a conference like the Big 12, which is very deep when you think about our men's basketball programs. We'll see what happens." I don't want the NCAA tournament to expand. I don't care what TNT and CBS are offering here. It's going to come down to money. These conferences are money hungry. I don't think it's any better for the fan to expand from 68 to 72 or 76. And I know Yormark will say, "Well, I want to get as many teams in as I can." Well, that's the same thing the SEC is claiming in the college football playoff. Don't be the SEC. You have a handful of teams that can legitimately win a national championship and get to a Final Four. We don't care about the 12th or 13th Big 12 team being team number 75 in a 76-team NCAA tournament. We don't care. It is literally the perfect tournament right now. Don't screw it up, NCAA. Don't screw it up, Power Four Conference Commissioners. Leave it be. Nobody wants this. Nobody is clamoring for this. And I understand the almighty dollar. I understand why that matters for you. But for once, could you put the interest of the fan first? You've got a perfect tournament. It's the one thing that makes money that the NCAA does really well. Diluting it further is not the move. What are we going to do now? Argue over team 77? I mean, geez, we're running out of teams. Why are we even playing a regular season at this point? Already the biggest issue in college basketball is the regular season stinks. The regular season has no juice. Nobody cares in November. Maybe you get some non-conference tournaments around Thanksgiving that are cool. Maybe you get a couple of big non-cons in December, but no one cares. And now because the college football season drags on to late January, no one really cares about college basketball. I mean, deeply. We do, but I'm saying the masses don't really care until the second half of February when they're looking ahead to March. If you want to keep hurting your regular season product, this is a great idea. This idea makes all the sense in the world. But what college basketball has to figure out is how to make its regular season more valuable and get more eyeballs to that. And that will then help you make more money rather than saying, the tournament is all we've got, it's the only thing that makes us a buck, therefore we got to keep stacking that thing. You guys have it all backwards. And you're screwing the whole thing up. Don't expand. I know y'all got to make money. I'm a capitalist. I'm not against it. But nobody is looking for this in college basketball that actually cares about college basketball. So a potential expansion of the NCAA tournament based on what Brett Yormark said this week is my second loser. My final loser, I'm going to clump some teams together here. There was an unofficial Big 12 preseason media poll that was done by the Gambling Gauchos guys on X. They do a very good job. We had a vote in this unofficial Big 12 preseason media poll. And the bottom five teams are basically the teams that most people believe are going to be in the basement in the Big 12. There was a big drop-off after the 12th team. So the order was this: K-State, Arizona State, Baylor, Texas Tech, Iowa State at 5, TCU 6, Utah at 7, BYU 8, and then tied for 9th, a three-way tie, KU, Houston, Colorado. After that comes the drop-off, and these are my other losers: Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Arizona, and UCF. Now, all of these fan bases can say, "You guys didn't know what you were doing last year. You're going to be wrong again." And you have a right to feel that way. Wouldn't shock me if one of these teams popped and surprised the entire Big 12 this year. But I don't think we're going to have the upside down standings that we had last season in the Big 12. I don't. I do think there are 8-9 teams that can win the Big 12 this year. I do believe that. I don't believe that we'll see an upside down standing. I don't think that BYU and Colorado and Arizona State, who are all picked near the very bottom of the Big 12, are going to be, you know, duplicated this year. I don't think that three of the Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Arizona, UCF contingent is going to find itself competing for a Big 12 championship come the end of November. If that happens, I don't know what I'll do. I mean, I've done a naked lap after a lost bet on my Kansas City radio show. That was 3 years ago now, and I said I would never do that again, so I don't think I'm going to do it here. But that would be shocking if three of those five teams end up competing atop the Big 12. You know, it just would be. If you think about it, the teams last year that ended up flipping the script, they had the quarterback play. You had Shedeur Sanders. You had Sam Leavitt. And then a star in Cam Scataboo. And BYU was led by a tremendous defense. And then, you know, Jake Retzlaff was good. I don't think he was great. He was good, though. But the defense led the way for BYU. Something's going to have to break with those five teams at the bottom when it comes to the quarterback. And that's why I've said about Arizona, maybe it's Noah Fifita. We know how talented he is based on 2023. Last year was a disaster. Now he's with Seth Dagey. He loves him. So, like, of those five teams, I'd look at Arizona just because of the ceiling at the quarterback position for Noah Fifita, knowing what that is. And that's what makes that situation very unique at Arizona. I mean, it's a team at the bottom, but you say, yeah, but if that quarterback hits, watch out, right? And I don't know who else you're saying that about. I'm not saying that about UCF or Cincinnati or Oklahoma State or West Virginia. I just can't. Bold take here from Luke. West Virginia wins 10 at a minimum. I will take whatever you are drinking tonight, my brother Luke. That's what I'll do, my man. That's a hell of a prediction. Whoa. I mean, Luke, bookmark that, screenshot this show, whatever it takes, buddy, because if that happens, you're getting some Heartland College sports gear for free on me, brother. That's what you're getting. Speaking of gear, we've got gear. We have a link to the gear, Heartland gear, and team-oriented gear in the show notes, and we're giving it away when you leave us a five-star rating and review on the podcast. Send me a screenshot to Pete Mundo, M-U-N-D-O, at heartlandcollegesports.com, and the best review each week will get some free Heartland merch. Make sure right now you hit that subscribe button on the show if you're a Big 12 or just a college football fan. We will have you covered, and the entire season is right around the corner. Thank you so much for being here as always, guys. Really appreciate you. We love our Big 12 fans and friends, and we will talk to you soon right here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.